Wow. Yes. This is bad. This is probably a really bad sign. I turned the mic on, and then I turned it off, and I turned to Derek, and I said, what day is today again? That's probably a really bad sign.
The Monday game. I'm telling you, the Monday game throws you off.
Willie, I've got 4 hours to recover, but that's a bad sign.
It's not a bad
sign. When the host turns off the mic and before he says a word and turns to one of his co-hosts and says, what day again is it? What is it? This is Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. You're right, Willie. I think the Monday does kind of throw
things
off.
Does it every time to me, man. Monday games throw me off.
And you walk in at 2 in the morning, too. That kind of throws it off a little bit.
That has something to do with it, but I start rolling around the day after a game. I always for a home game, because usually they play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's your normal
routine. Yeah, it's pretty routine.
Yeah. So if you play Monday, I walk around Tuesday as if it's Wednesday. And that messes me up, man.
Well, Willie. Gotta get it back.
You gotta adjust.
Adjust.
You gotta adjust.
Like I said, I've got 4 hours to adjust and get better and figure out what day it is.
Willie has on a eclectic ensemble of clothes today.
What's eclectic about?
Hey, by the way, over the years, honk if you've heard this before.
Exactly.
Willie, what kind of outfit is this?
It's a free shirt.
He has a free
shirt. It's a free shirt.
TSSAA.
Well, that goes without saying.
Shirt, but the color, what color would you say? That's like a steel blue.
Aqua.
Aqua, blue, steel.
Yeah.
And then he has on gray
sweats.
They're not sweats because they're not cotton material. They're like
they're
a dry
sweats.
Fit. They're like something you wear in the rain. Don't want to get wet, and the rain just rolls off.
Under Armour.
You actually paid for those,
and he has
right?
White
no,
stripe.
Golly, those are free, too?
Willie, is your shoes free?
No, I bought the shoes.
Do you have those blue and gold Adidas Predator shoes?
No. I got blue shoes. Kind of match the shirt.
He has blue shoes.
It's eclectic.
Nice,
it's kind of just free stuff.
It's nice. It's just, when you put it on, what were you thinking?
We're going to have the contest this summer. Who can come up with the most free stuff for the most consecutive days? Floyd Reese is the favorite.
Floyd is definitely the leader in the clubhouse.
Of course.
You know who would win if we let him in the contest? Plasmo.
Yeah,
he's always got his hand out.
You think his whole club is
free? Oh, there's no
but
question.
I think D-Mace can compete, though.
Anything outside of a polo is free.
But see, D-Mace doesn't want to go there because he cares more about the style. Like, you're more stylish, so which means you go away from the free.
Yeah, I have free stuff, but
on a day like today, I'm just throwing on the free stuff. This is the TSSAA shirt the last several years. It's probably going on close to 8 or 10 years
You've
now.
You've had that shirt for 10 years?
No, this is last year's shirt.
Oh, I was about to
But
say.
Every year I do the high school baseball championship games. And it usually takes spring fling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a new one every year. So this is last year's.
Yeah.
Would you admit if it was 10 years old?
Exactly.
Oh, I've got some stuff that's probably.
But would,
at least
right,
10.
Would you say, hey,
oh, yeah,
this
I would
is
tell
2006?
You, sometimes the year's on there. Sometimes you can't hide it, man. It says, like, hey, 2002.
Well, that's the shirts you wash and you try to hope that it keeps fading on the year so people can't see 2006.
Well, what you hope for is you have enough free stuff, free shirts, that they don't get worn out, right? So you can keep them in a low rotation because you got enough of them. Mm-hmm. Which is why I feel like I could maybe hang with Floyd.
No, you can't hang.
No,
with Floyd.
You can't hang with Floyd.
It'd be hard to
hang
with Floyd.
No.
That'd be hard to hang with Floyd.
I don't think when he was the GM there was anything he did pay for. I think his car, everything. House, everything.
I don't blame him. If it's free, it's for me.
I'm not willing to go
I'm
as far as his wife.
Take three.
Okay? Sally wasn't free. Okay, he earned that one, but everything else was free.
Everything
Shoes.
Else he had
he earned
life.
The wife and the kids, but everything else, I'm pretty sure was in a deal.
Oh,
it is definitely a good perk of the job.
Of course, he brokered it.
All right, that's 5 minutes of the show. Okay, so we gave someone a breather for 5 minutes. But we cannot wait any longer.
Quickly before we get into this, because I know we're not going to get into this anytime off, because we're still on this kind of this train. This is a sports story of a tennis game in, I believe, Sycamore, Florida. They were playing in Sycamore, Florida, a tennis match. And they're going back and forth, and all of a sudden they hear this like faint sound from a little ways away. They thought it was a cell phone. And they stopped play. They heard it. They stopped play. They thought it was a cell phone. Now, mind you, it's a professional match going on. So they stopped play for a couple of seconds, listen to it. And it's on live television, too. So then they get back to playing. Mind you, there's apartment buildings next door. There's a high-rise next door to where they're playing. A minute goes by, you hear it again. It's louder now, and it's longer. It was two adult people doing adult things.
During a tennis match?
Yeah, what kind but of they were thing? In the building next door.
Oh.
And they heard it.
Oh, no.
And the dude screams out, "It can't be that good." And then you see the people in the stands. One lady, she covers her son's ear and all this. I'm like, wow.
Is interesting. At tennis matches, it does get kind of quiet.
Yeah.
You know, when the point's going on, you have to be quiet. It's like the golf. Mm-hmm. So I can
so
see
you
how
you can hear everything.
You can hear it. Apparently so.
Pete Weber, this is for you. Nevertheless, Bree D, continuing on. That's a little inside joke. He'll get that if he's listening.
Oh, boy.
You've heard that PA story, right? I'm sure Pete and Terry and Brent have told you that one. You know that, yeah.
No,
nevertheless.
Oh, Pete.
So, guys, we have Chase McAbey behind the glass.
What up?
And it's dark back there. Who do we have back there? Seems awfully quiet back there.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's invite Carolyn. Can we invite Carolyn
in? Let's
invite
her in here.
We need some music. Come on down music from Price is Right. We need some music. Play a little music, Chase.
He's on down the road. He's on down the road.
Let me get her mic on.
Okay.
So hang on. You're good.
Oh, Carolyn.
Oh, yes.
I think somebody spotted you. One of our callers said they were, and not to say it was you, but one of our callers said they were, during the game, they were walking out. They saw someone with a Cubs hat on, Cubs jersey on. I said that could have been Carolyn.
There's a lot of people from Chicago, I'm sure, that are down here this weekend, so I don't think that was me.
On Monday, there really weren't. So actually, there was very few in.
Well, they might have been downtown. They just weren't in the building.
They weren't in the building.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I had to work, so I couldn't go. So that sucked.
So how you doing these days? How are things going? We haven't talked to you this week.
I had this discussion with someone at my church on Sunday, and I think it's pretty relevant. It's not really a rivalry unless...
We're going to go there. We're going to go there.
Unless you each beat each other. So Bears, Packers.
Look at the ring.
Bears,
look
Packers.
At the ring.
Yeah, record time.
If we just talk about, like, Bears, Packers in general, like, that's a pretty even, like, not recently, of course, but historically, that's a pretty, like, even series.
Okay.
So
historically.
When I first came down here to Nashville, I didn't realize that the Preds thought of us as such huge rivals. I did not think that because to Chicago, it was a lot of the St. Louis Blues, Vancouver Canucks for a time, and historically it's been the Detroit Red Wings.
Right.
Right. You understand that's 100 years of history.
Yes.
When a franchise has been around 19. So it's kind of hard to have that
feeling. Didn't realize that it was such a huge rivalry down here. So... in my mind, I was like, why? Like, why? So now I can see, like, this will become more of a rivalry in Chicago because if the Preds end up winning this series.
No, when. When okay. this series
well,
is
gonna
over.
I'm going to say if because I'm going to hold out hope. Okay. So forgive
hope
me.
Hope against all hope, huh?
I will.
The audacity for hope.
You know,
but let's just go on for the sake of the show. When the series is over.
Okay,
and
when the
Blackhawks are at home.
And the Blackhawks are back in Chicago, pining over their loss, and the Preds are continuing on in the playoffs. I think from Chicago's perspective, it'll be looked at as a more serious rivalry. And not just a
So you're looking at the silver lining.
I'm looking at this because I think it'll be good for both franchises.
It's good for both franchises now.
When is it never good to have like a good rivalry in your division?
I will give her some credit.
We'll take her that. I'll take her on that.
That was a discussion I had with a friend.
It made
I
you
think
feel good.
True.
It comforted you.
I can be a very reasonable sports fan. It sucks right now, I will say. But,
but your
you
Bulls
know
are up 2-0. 2-0, your Chicago
That's
Bulls.
A whole different rant for another time because the Bulls make me so mad.
Yeah. Oh, Carolyn.
Okay. We talked about you yesterday. Yeah, we were thinking about you yesterday.
I had to work, so I didn't get to listen to that. Man. I'm so glad you guys thought
it's probably
me.
A good move on your part. But I'm sure you got word of what was going on in the show.
I did get a text message from Chase asking when I was going to be back.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the recording of yesterday's taunting?
No. No, we don't.
You might want to pull that up.
That would be kind of fun if you had that. Well, anyway, welcome back to the show.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
And look.
And it'll be even more fun on Friday.
Right, yeah, if you would like the official guide and record book for 2016.
Yeah, 2016, yeah.
As the Blackhawks were the defending champs at the time.
Yeah.
With Jonathan Toews on there, you can have that.
I would be down. Jonathan Toews is my favorite
player. Does Toews still play for the Blackhawks? Yeah.
Yes,
is he still
does.
On the
He's
team?
He's been a no-show.
Is he? Oh, okay. I haven't seen him.
Is he hurt?
I think Pekka Rinne has more points.
Oh, wait a minute. He's been on the ice. He's been down on the ice a lot. Oh, that's right. I've seen him get up.
He's been on his back a lot.
He has.
I think we have to be careful not to poke the bear.
There's Coach Donick. Guys, you got to stay focused.
Stay focused.
Stay in the game.
Do not poke the bear.
Stay focused, guys.
Yeah, you know what they were saying. You know what they were saying about Toews before the All-Star break, that he didn't deserve to be there, and then he went off after that. So, you know, if you guys need to say some crap to Jonathan Toews to get him to wake up and score a couple goals,
Where's he been?
On Thursday.
So. Where's he been? I'm just saying. I haven't seen him.
No show.
I haven't seen him much. No. By the way, game one, I was in the United Center. He had zero shots.
Milk carton. Just saying.
Coach Donner, guys, let's stay focused. Stay in the moment.
Take it down a notch.
Come on.
Listen, guys.
I'm just saying, if there is any team in the league that could come back from a 3-0 deficit, it's the Blackhawks. I don't think it's very likely, but I don't want to rule them out.
No, you're right. The record is 4-184, so you're right. It has happened. So
it can't. So
four times in 184 attempts.
A chance.
Yeah. So you're saying 1 in a million. Yeah. What happened to all that 1 in a million talk? Yeah. No, you're right. It has happened.
If the Cubs can win the World Series, you know, if the Cubs can do that, then I think the Blackhawks can come back from 3-0. But we'll see.
Hold on to the Cubs.
Well, good to see you. Thanks for coming in and being a good sport.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, guys.
That's Carolyn, our intern.
That's Carolyn.
From Chicago.
Music.
From Music.
We need a theme song for Carolyn.
From the shot.
When she comes back from behind the glass out to the studio to get
I'll just play the goal song. How about that?
No, I think yesterday when we were going, Carolyn.
Yeah, we need to find that recording. That was good.
Intern from Chicago.
Where are you?
We will come back with Itavius Mathers, former MTSU running back. Of course, draft prospect, played his high school ball here, a Nashvillean kid. We will talk to him next here on 3D, 102.5 The Game. Back here on 3D on this Wednesday morning, Darren, Derek, and Donick with you. Got a great show in store for you for the next about 3 hours and 45 minutes. We got a lot of ground to cover, including heading down to the borough and bringing former MTSU running back, played his high school ball at Blackman. So he's a Rutherford County product. I live in Rutherford County, so I'm very familiar with our next guest. Itavius Mathers is on the line with us. Itavius, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good.
So what's it been like for you? How's this whole process, and where are you at sitting here? What are we, a week out, a little bit over a week out from the draft? What's it like just sitting here knowing, not knowing, I guess, how this is going to play out?
It's very exciting. You know, you don't know where you might end up. You don't have control of it. But at the same time, hey, it can change your life. You never know.
You're right. And speaking of changing your life, I wanted to hit on a couple. You had a monster season last year for the Blue Raiders. And for a kid that grew up in SEC country, and I know you started off in the SEC and then came back here to Murfreesboro to play for MTSU. But when you guys went to Columbia, Missouri last year and you beat the Tigers, and you just had that game where you ran for over 200 yards. What was that like for you personally?
It was very exciting for me personally, just because as an SEC team, like, I used to play there. So when you play against mid-major schools as Middle Tennessee, you're overlooking them and you're expecting to go ahead and get a win that day. And for us to come in there and execute the way we did, and obviously, I ran for 200 and scored a couple of touchdowns. I think that's huge. You know, Most people don't do that against SEC schools.
Before I turn this over to D-Mace, if I were to ask you, what do you think your biggest strength is that you bring to the table for the next level, and what is something that you think you need to work on? What would your answers be?
My biggest strength would definitely being able to would be my vision and hands, and weakness is probably, just knowing everything. You know, it's always room to know more.
We'll talk with Octavius Mathers, former MTSU running back, NFL prospect in the 2017 NFL draft. Now, is there anything that surprised you, throughout this process? I know you guys, the season was over with, I believe, late December, early January, bowl game, and then you went right into your workouts or whatnot. But has anything surprised you when you've met with teams or when you had your workout at your school? Is there anything that you were surprised about that you didn't feel was coming?
If anything, probably the combine. I really felt like I should have been there. Mm-hmm. My numbers matched up with all of the top five running backs in the country. I was in the top five, top 10, top 15 the whole season. So I don't know what they're looking at. So why I didn't get an invite? And come pro day, I put up the same numbers, if not better, than most of the guys at the combine.
Now, have you gotten a chance to talk to your former teammate, Byard? He was another guy that excelled at MTSU, and he managed throughout the course of the workouts to steady climb up the ladder, and then he gets drafted by the Tennessee Titans. So have you been able to talk with him through this process?
Yes, I definitely talked to Kevin a lot. We actually worked out a couple of times together. Spring game, we talked. He was just telling me what to expect, what not to expect, and whoever picks me up, what to go in. When I go in, to have a good mindset, stay positive, and just don't try to do too much. Just be yourself.
Now, how would it feel for you? One, I guess the one question I want to ask, because I kind of, went through this, over almost two decades ago, being at a certain place during a draft and not really watching the draft intently, but being nervous at where I was going to be picked in what round. First, where are you going to be during the draft? And then what would it be like for you if you heard your name and the Tennessee Titans had just drafted you? What do you think that feeling would be like?
First, I'm pretty positive I'd be at home watching the draft. And second, if the Titans draft me, I'd be excited. You know, I got drafted. I'd still be in the hometown area. Fans can come out and support me. Easy for my parents and family members to make the games. And it'd just be a dream come true, being able to get drafted.
Well, that is something that I know everybody dreams about. Octavius Mathers is with us, former Middle Tennessee running back, prospective draft player going for the NFL experience here. And Octavius, as you finish the season and you've been working really hard to try to push it, I always feel like that's a really interesting time for any athlete because you don't know what the future holds, but you're trying to push yourself to a whole nother level. How much improvement have you seen in your performance, your overall strength, your speed, the things you've worked on since the season ended?
I've seen a lot of improvement from my speed to my strength. The biggest one would probably be my weight gain. During the season, I was 190. Now I'm up to 203, 205 range. That's going to be huge for me going into the NFL, being able to take licks.
Yeah, that's a great point. So it's amazing how if you push yourself, you can even see more improvement. What was the whole Middle Tennessee experience for you like? It was your second spot. There's so many great stories through the years of people that have transferred and then had a great experience at their second place. That's always what you're looking for when you get a change of scenery. But just looking at the production, you had to feel great about your decision to go to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I felt great about coming back home, playing in front of everyone. And Middle Tennessee, I think it's one of the best places in the country, really. It's just that we don't have things as SEC schools or whatever, but Coach Stock tries to make his best, make it feel like we have all those things. And just like the players, we're more like a family-based team. You don't have to worry about these people hanging out with these people and everyone else, but we all hang together. We all talk to each other, get along just fine, and that's big in the program. That's how you win games.
And it also seems like it's given you an easy way to stay connected. You said playing at home. Of course, you started at Blackman High School, and all of us can remember some of those big nights you had on those Friday nights for the Blaze back in the day. So tell us about your relationship. How have you tried to stay connected with your alma mater there?
I definitely go back every day. That's why I'm currently working out at. And anytime the coaches wants me to come in and talk to the players, or I do it on my own, I go in, I talk to them. I actually did some drills with them the other day, Master T and the other running back, Burks. They're all just talented there, and I just keep telling them just never be satisfied with yourself. Just always try to push for more and just know your why. And if you do that, then sky's the limit for you.
That's great. And one thing that's been something that has really blossomed, and it's always been like this, but I feel like since schools like Blackman have popped up, it's a relatively new school. The high school football in Murfreesboro, in just that surrounding area, is incredible. And you experienced it yourself. Why is it? Why are there so many great players over there?
That's a good question. I just know that this county has great athletes, and it's really hard to win games in this county. And when I was in high school, we were ranked the countrywide. Well, our area was ranked in the top 10 for the best football. So I feel like that's a big deal. It just goes to show you how big football here is in Middle Tennessee.
Well, we're all rooting for you. It's always a great story to follow kids who grew up here and starred not only on the high school level but on the college level. And we were really excited to see the season you had for Middle, and we hope that you can take it to this next level.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Itavius. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, thank you all for having me.
All right, Itavius Mathers, former MTSU running back, as you just heard, also played at Blackman. And
That's pretty cool. He goes back to his high school and trains with the current high school kids. That's got to be a big thrill for those kids.
As much as I want to see him, I would love to see him get drafted by the Tennessee Titans. I would rather him go somewhere else.
Where he's got a chance to play.
He has a legitimate chance to play, you know, or be in the rotation as the year goes on. Because right now, you know, realistically, it's only a two-headed monster right now unless someone gets injured. And that's Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. So I can't see too many other people, you know, getting many carries. But then again, there's always special teams. So,
and if they have Christian McCaffrey,
you know, he could be
behind him.
But, hey, listen. You never say never, and you never doubt an individual. If he comes here, he might end up being, you know, a guy that can come in and contribute right away.
His stats last year at MTSU, he ran for 1,561 yards, 17 touchdowns. And listen to this, guys, 66 receptions, 633 yards, and three receiving touchdowns.
And that baffles me, and I don't understand this about the draft, about the combine either. Why didn't he get invited to the combine?
He had over 2,000 all-purpose yards and 20 touchdowns.
And if you like production. And didn't get invited to the combine.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
If you like production, and you look at his numbers at Blackman, too.
Yeah, they're off the charts.
This guy has put up big, big numbers wherever he's been. I hope he can translate that. And I don't know what his projections are, but you just never know who's gonna make it. Remember a kid named, this is just thinking about local running backs that have come through. Remember a kid named Orleans Darkwire?
Absolutely.
Guy,
he's
right?
With the Giants now.
A guy, though, but remember, he wasn't a huge college recruit. Like, it was
For
it
some
was interesting.
Reason, he was yeah. a really good back.
Tulane?
He put these huge numbers up at Ensworth, and you're like, this is the best running back in the area, or one of them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where's he going to school? Well, he didn't end up being one of those five-star guys, but here he is
in the NFL.
So you never know what pathway some of these guys are going to take. And there's other guys that I thought for sure, hey, this guy is the next whatever based on what you see in high school. And, you know,
doesn't turn out that way.
Doesn't turn out that way.
Like the receiver at Laverne. And he went to, La Tech? And he's been with the 49ers, yes, and I'm drawing blanks. I thought he was going to really – and he got drafted pretty high. I think it was, what, third, fourth round, something like that. I thought he was going to be – and he really hasn't
– But then the other kid –
He hasn't done anything.
But he made
Patton?
It.
Patton. And then the other kid, I played with him with the Jets that went out to USC, the receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Number one recruit in the country.
In the country.
Good passer high school. Yes. What was his name? David?
No, it wasn't David. Because I ended up playing with him for a year, well, for the months I was there with the Jets. And he was another guy that you thought.
Oh, he had the frame.
Yeah, he was 6'4".
Just nothing.
He got hurt at SC. He got hurt at SC a lot, but it never did materialize anything.
We will announce a winner. Be listening when we come back. You'll have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call in, and we will see you at Game 4. We will have a winner's name next here on 3D ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of race night, tonight during the 6 o'clock hour, the profiles piece will be Kelly Earnhardt Miller. Going to want to hear this. These profile pieces, really, really good stuff. Kelly Earnhardt Miller tonight during the 6 o'clock hour. It is time to give you a chance to be a part of the excitement Thursday night, tomorrow night, Game 4. Predators Blackhawks. Predators lead the series 3-0. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have pregame starting at 6. And right now, Russell Young, at Russell_Young, who submitted a photo on Twitter. Remember, keep doing the hashtag RockTheGold. You have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to claim your tickets at 615-399-1029. 615-399-1029 for Russell Young. Get in there. Be a part of this. Remember, send your photo via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. This is a social media contest. Make sure you use the hashtag RockTheGold. Your next chance to win will be next hour. So good luck, Russell Young. We hope to see you at Bridgestone tomorrow night. Speaking of, I think the Sharks just scored another goal on Edmonton last night. Holy cow, did they
– Was Edmonton the Oilers playing got, without a goalie?
They went empty net for 60 minutes.
New strategy, Derek.
7-0. The Sharks have been shut out the last two games against the Oilers, and they decided just to take their anger out on Edmonton last night. They won 7-0 in the tank.
That one looks like it's going to go 7.
Or was that in?
That was in the Shark Tank.
Yeah, that was in San Jose.
Yeah,
7-0. Yikes! Now that series is even at 2.
Now, and this is again the lesson of hockey. There's such a little difference between teams that you can't just assume that if the team's won 3, they're going to win 4 in a sweep. Columbus protected home ice last night.
Yeah.
Kept the series going.
Now they're down 3-1.
Now they're down 3-1.
Going back to Pittsburgh.
But I give them credit. They did not give up. Zach Werenski is one of their best players. And of course, if anybody saw the picture of him, you talk about a hockey player.
Bad, bad, bad.
Got hit in the eye with the puck, and it broke his, orbital bone or whatever, nose, probably a little bit of everything.
His face
was a
mess.
He tried to come back. They put a cage on there. He tried to play.
Insane.
And then his eyes got so swollen he couldn't see, and that's why he stopped playing. It wasn't the pain or anything. He couldn't see. But he's tweeted a picture of himself. Did you see this? He took a selfie sitting on the table there. Uh-huh. It was one of the most gruesome things I've ever seen. He said, hockey player.
It looked like
that was the caption.
The picture, Derek, looked like the three of us grabbed a bag of sand and just started wailing on his face. And after 5 minutes, that's what it looked like.
I mean, it was dark.
It was that bad.
Like someone was coming out of his face.
It was like somebody awful. Ordered the code red.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Oh, man.
We had pillowcases full of soap.
So he's out. He's out for the series. I mean, he's a critical. He's Seth Jones's defensive partner. He's only 19. Those two guys are going to be awesome going forward. But you take him away, and they still found a way to score 5 and beat the Penguins. Barely, by the way. They were up 3-0. Penguins came close to coming back. But, you know, I give these teams credit for not quitting. Hockey players do not quit, especially a great team like the Blackhawks. That's going to be my coach speak. You guys are going to rip on me all week, but you have to you have to assume,
of course,
that the Blackhawks have the greatness
in
them.
We're having fun.
Back.
But yes. Look, close it out. There's
close
no
it
reason
out.
To waste
Do not
energy
go back to
on other games. Just finish it off. Take the rest. This year you don't have the travel, and take the rest. Last year, two series of seven games. And you could tell by game 14, it had taken its toll. Keep your foot on the gas. Close it out tomorrow night. Rest.
You'll have
basically a week until you start up round two.
This is how I would put it, Derek. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you play well and the Blackhawks just play a great game or get lucky or something and you get beat. Because that can happen in a hockey game. There's a randomness factor. You just never know what could happen. But don't lose game four because you thought the Blackhawks were just going to mail it in, pitch it in.
Yeah.
Because that's what would be hard to stomach.
I don't think that will happen. From what we've seen of the Predators this series, I think game two or three would have been the game where we saw, okay, we got one game. We did what we were supposed to do, get a game in Chicago, the first game. Now we can come back out and we can just kind of relax and just, you know, take a little bit more chances. A couple more chances, and they didn't do it. They came in there, and they stuck with the plan. They were physical, fast, attention to detail. And then you thought, oh, they're up 2-0 coming back home. They're going to be – they can afford to be a little bit relaxed. Maybe they'll come out and won't be as aggressive. Game three, same thing. They were aggressive, fast, physical, attention to detail. So their history doesn't tell me, meaning their short history, the last three games, doesn't tell me that the Preds are going to come out any different than they have in game one, two, or three. So I don't – if they end up not winning this game, I don't think it would be because of lack of effort.
By the way, going back to the Columbus win, 5-4 last night over the Penguins, I believe that's the first playoff win for Columbus in regulation in their franchise history. I believe that's correct.
What?
Willie, is that right?
Say that again?
I think that's their first regulation playoff win in franchise history.
Is that right?
I'm serious. I think that's...
Well, they lost in six games a couple years ago to the Penguins. And so I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, may have been overtime games.
They may have won both in overtime.
I heard them say...
Can we get Ryan Johansson on the phone? He would know, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that was their first in regulation.
And Rain Man Porth.
Where is Rain Man Porth? Judge Wapner
he
five.
He should know.
Judge Wapner five.
He is in his office.
Judge Wapner five.
Right now he's Googling right now. He's here.
I heard the Reds on the radio. Does he do that? Does he walk up and down the hall? Reds on the radio.
Well, you're way off key, but yes, he basically does. He sits at his desk, you know, with his Reds hat on. And hums the tune and pretends he's Marty Brenneman.
But, I mean, that just tells you perspective. Mm-hmm. Franchise, they came in the year after the Predators. Mm-hmm. And if that's correct, when I was watching the game last night, I think they said that. First game in regulation in the playoffs.
Wow, goodness.
A win. Mm. Remember, don't take for granted stuff.
Oh, you can't. Not in sports. It's hard to.
You know. And the Rangers beat the Canadiens. They finally won a game at MSG. Everybody was wondering, can this team win at home?
They lost
six in a row at home.
And I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but Shea Weber almost bent the post.
I think he cut it in half.
He might have sheared it in half. I mean, it was a bomb. And he had the goalie beat. It just hit the post. It was tight. But the Rangers have evened it up. That series is destined for seven. I'm telling you, that one's going seven.
Well, why
Rangers Canadiens?
Rangers
Canadiens.
Yes. It's going seven.
It does have that feel.
Well, why everyone's going seven games, Preds need to end it.
That's what I'm saying.
Night.
Yeah, just end it.
End it.
Just rest.
Get some rest.
Sit back. Mm-hmm. Get ready. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Hey, fellas. I tried to get in yesterday, but between being away from the radio and your guests, I couldn't get in. But I've got a belated, this is what I know, and then I got a question. But this is what I know. David Poile is going to have a heck of a time trying to figure out who to protect in the expansion draft. So I'd like to hear you guys talk a little bit about that. And then, Willie, when we have healthy scratches and guys that aren't playing, do they still show up and hang out in the locker room and encourage the guys, or are they sitting up in a box somewhere watching the game, or what are those guys doing? And I'll hang up and listen.
They're around a lot. They are still a big part of what goes on. They travel. They skate. Practice. Sometimes they're going to, on a day like yesterday, I don't know for sure that they did this, but I'm guessing that they probably had a good skate, that you have to stay in condition because you never know when you're going to be needed. And you hear Peter Laviolette say this all the time. You need everybody for a long journey, and you got to hope that the journey's just beginning here. But, yeah, they are around. Now, in the game, when the actual game starts, you know, they've gone through their workouts for the day. They can hang around wherever they want, pretty much. I'm sure you've seen guys down there, Darren, when you've done the intermissions. Guys lurking.
See them all the time.
They're in a suit. They're just down there hanging around. They can go in the locker room if they want. They could sit upstairs. If you want. On the road, sometimes I see the road players upstairs in the press box. Sometimes that's mm-hmm. where they choose to watch the games. There's not really a good place in the road locker room. But in the home locker room, I would imagine you're more comfortable in the lounge or some of the different things they have for the home team that they don't for the road team.
Saw Mika Salamaki down there a lot. Cody Bass a lot when he was going through his injury down there. So, yeah, they're always down there lurking. As for the first question, it's a good problem to have. Yeah, they're going to have a tough decision, but it's a good problem to have. I mean, be glad that it's going to be a tough decision. Figuring out who to protect, how that game's going to play out.
Right now, you just can't worry about it right now. I'm sure they have talked about it. I will give you my quick way that I think they would have that is the best way to do it. I haven't bounced this off of David Poile. He certainly hasn't asked my opinion. But
what?
I think they should protect the seven forwards and the three defensemen with the idea that you make the deal up front to say the fourth defenseman is X. Figure out who you think it is. Ryan Ellis, Matias Ekholm, whoever. You know, you got your four defensemen that you can't lose. You can't lose any of those four guys. You're not losing Ekholm, Ellis, Subban, or Yossi. You're not letting Vegas take those guys.
Well,
but you can
scenario,
make a deal to say, here's my unprotected fourth defenseman. You don't take him, and here's what we give you in exchange.
Yeah,
you get your pick of anybody else, but we're going to add this pick or this prospect.
It'll
or
be somebody,
both, you know,
something probably
like that.
In the minors.
To me, that's how you have to try to protect a deeper amount of forwards. That gives you more forwards you can protect.
And a lot of teams will be doing that. That's
I think
pretty
virtually
common
every
practice.
Team yeah. will be doing that.
And, okay, what do we need to do to pad your pocket for you not to protect, you know, take this player?
And if Vegas is smart, they'll do as many of those deals as they can, because even though it might be tempting for Vegas to get the best players they can possibly get for the first year, that's not their best way to win. And I think the more George McPhee, their general manager, studies it, the more he's going to realize that. And he's better off trying to get as many prospects in the pipeline early as he can.
He just needs to
understand.
It's going to
take 4 or 5 years.
He just needs to understand he's not getting Forsberg back. So as long as he knows that, he's never getting Forsberg back.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
He had his crack. He's never coming back.
You're going to have to give up something. I mean, he's going to get some assets from the Predators and every other team in the league. So you just have to deal with that.
We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of 3D next. First, a word from Willie.
Well, let me tell you the word about Lee Company. Yesterday, we had the heavy rain. Now, last year, we had a problem. The rain at our house was slipping into the basement a little bit. And, yeah, that causes some problems. So we called Lee Company. That's just one of many reasons that we've called that number, 567-1000. And we've had their experts come on out, give us some help. They start with your plumbing, your electrical, your heating unit, cooling unit, but they go to a vast array of other things as well. All you've got to do is keep that number in the back of your mind, 567-1000, or better yet, become part of their home maintenance plan, and they will be scheduling appointments with you every year to check out all of these systems, to make sure they're working properly, find the little things before they become big hassles and big repairs for you. But if you do have to have repairs, you get discounts if you're a member of the home maintenance plan. 567-1000 for Lee Company, or go online at leecompany.com. Proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Malcolm Butler has signed a $3.91 million tender with the Patriots. $3.9 million tender with the Patriots. Now the Patriots have the option to trade Butler. We'll see how that plays out. Speaking of the Patriots, we all woke up to the news that former Patriot was found hanging in a cell, Aaron Hernandez. So he died overnight.
He committed what it looks like, committed suicide. It's unfortunate. It really is. The loss of life, period, is unfortunate. He put himself in a situation where he had to spend the rest of his life behind bars. He has a 4-year-old daughter that went from not being able to embrace her dad or dad grow up with her, you know, being there every day, to not having him at all now. And that's just unfortunate. And I know the bad things that he's done, but to me, I'm not going to be the one that, you know, again, and I've seen it all on Twitter, you know, from people putting up, you know, old Instagram shots of him with holding a pistol and other stuff. I understand the choices that you make in life lead you down a path, good or bad, that you're going to go on. And, you know, to me, it's just his 4-year-old daughter didn't ask for this. And that's the part that's heartbreaking to me, is that now she will never see her father again. And people, you can disagree with me or agree with me, but that's just the way I feel. So I'm not going to sit here and say anything bad. I'm just going to say I feel for his daughter. You know, when the decisions that you make ultimately leads to, you know, how your life ends up.
Because this is not a case of trouble finding him.
Exactly.
He found trouble.
Absolutely. So he was a troubled young man, period. She'd never see her father. And that's the unfortunate part about it. And if it was a suicide, it's just tough. It's tough. So
you do wonder, like, you know, how does somebody with that talent, it's, you know, played at Florida, played in the SEC, what got drafted later because everybody knew the baggage. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have been a first-round pick
if
he didn't have all the baggage. But why he chose and could have named his price mm-hmm. in the NFL, could have been still playing, making gobs and gobs and gobs of money, mm-hmm. set for life, but chose this other path behind the scenes. And you wonder
a different life.
Why.
Yeah,
you know, when you have have all of that, why?
Why would you? And I understand people go through things in life that, you know, at a young age that might alter, you know, their perspective on certain things, and it might cause them to do things that they probably wouldn't have otherwise done had their upbringing been a little different. But I mean, it seemed as if he had everything in his hands. Everything was going well from the outside. Like, why would you even mess with that other life? But I mean, sometimes you get stuck with people, and you just can't get away from that life, or you feel that you owe people stuff and you can't get away from them. So you feel you got to be there for him.
Or,
you know?
In this case, I don't know. Maybe he just enjoyed that. I don't know. Maybe he wanted
anything.
That life.
Could, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he liked being a gangster. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Maybe, you know, nobody forced him to be that way. Maybe that's just the way he wanted to be. I don't know.
His alter ego. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, pretty sad and, of course, pathetic. But that's how it ended. I don't think anybody's really surprised that this was the ending, right?
I don't know.
Would he really waste away the rest of his life in prison?
I don't think people understand, especially when you followed everything. I don't think they've ever. I know there was a prior suicide watch. I think when it all first started,
right?
And I think they were just doing that for. They were just doing that for safety measures. I don't think he probably ever, but when you get charged with something like that and you feel I have no way out, they always want to protect, you know, you from taking your life. So I don't know if that was warranted or not. But after that, I don't think anyone thought that he would do this, you know, especially after last week, after he gets acquitted of the double homicide, and his lawyer comes out and says, you know, we're optimistic that there's a possibility he could be out in the future. All of that coming out, you just don't think that this was probably the last thing you thought he would do.
Yeah.
So
when we come back, hear what one predator said about another predator and how game three ended. You'll hear that to kick off the second hour of 3D. That'll be next on 102.5 The Game.